minute, teacher. Walked to the front of the class, took his jacket off. Told the boy to sit down. He said, I'll take the whooping for him. I'll take the whooping for him because I can take it. That's what Jesus did for us. Guys, we're spiritually starving to death. And we've stole, we've lied, we've committed adultery. And Jesus, right when we was going to take the beating that we deserved, he took off his coat and took the whooping. I remember hearing that story. I remember Brother English sharing that story. And he said, when I used to share that story, I would cry. Man, I remember when I used to weep and cry at the mention of the cross and Calvary and Jesus. Well, I hope we don't get to a place where we're so indifferent about what Jesus has done that we have to have our song or our message or something that goes our way in the church before we come and go, you know what? I love him because he first loved me. The message this morning comes, I'm going to go to a couple different places if you don't mind. I'm going to go to Isaiah chapter 6. So if you don't want to travel through your Bible with me, it's fine. But I'm also going to go to 2 Corinthians 13 real quick in verse 5. It's one of my favorite verses, 2 Corinthians 13, 5. I'm going to use it as a kind of a springboard to what we're trying to teach this morning. Just got out of revival, went up to Wilkesboro, North Carolina, done a 3-day revival up there. My heart was broken when I left. The last night I preached, there was several rows of teenagers broken before God, weeping over each other, weeping and crying, and God was moving on them, and they wouldn't come. Wouldn't come to an altar, wouldn't come and seek the Lord. I remember right when I was about to leave, a teenager pulled back up in the parking lot, got out, run up to me and said, "Hey, I appreciate you preaching. That helped me." And I said, Are you all right?" And he goes, "I think so." I said, "Well, you better deal with that before you get too far down the road, friend." He goes, "I appreciate you coming." I'm not a savior. I'm not the savior. God is. A little boy come up to me after the service. Hey, there's a lot of people need to get saved here, brother. You did your part. I hope you don't go home sad that nobody moved here tonight. And I looked at him. I said, "Friend, I'm sad right now because I don't want to go home. But I have done my part. And I'm going to do my part here today. I'm going to share what God put this on my heart before yesterday. He said, hey, preach this at your church." 2 Corinthians 13, 5 reads like this. Well, if I get on 13, I'll be good. 5. Examine yourself. Do you see that? Examine yourself. Guys, I'm sitting here telling you this morning. I don't care if you're the oldest member or the youngest member here. It says examine yourself. Every time I read that, it reminds me of going to the hospital or the doctor. 90% of the stuff that we end up dying from or getting sick from, a good examination would have done well early on, amen? If somebody had caught it early, that's what the doctors usually say, a good examination, amen? But this right here says, before you stand before the doctor of all doctors and the Lord of all lords, you better examine yourself. You better take a good long look at yourself to find out whether you're in the faith or not. I didn't say in the church. I didn't say in a religious group. I didn't say baptized. I didn't say raised in church. I said examine yourself whether you be in the faith or not. Prove your own self. Know your own self. How that Christ is in you except you be reprobates. I'm asking you a question. If Jesus is in you by way of the Holy Spirit, He'll change your whole life. He'll change your whole life. He'll wreck your life. What you thought was important will no longer be important. What you used to love, you'll no longer love. What you used to hate, you'll no longer hate. I'm going to prove that by the Scriptures, but you better do the examination now. And you say, how do I do it, brother? How do I do an examination of myself? Right here's the mirror. Right there's the mirror of the Word of God. And if you look in it, peer in it, you will find yourself. I still find myself sometimes. Woe is me. Saved as I can be, but praise God, sometimes out of the will of God. You know what that does? It gets me right where I need to be. And it says, and I want to get that last part, except you be reprobates. I studied on that. Except you be reprobates. What does that mean? Hey, you're sitting here as lost as undone. God knows you're not saved, and you're sitting here going, it won't matter. I got plenty of time. Me and God will work it out. I'll stand before God. No man should judge me. Me and God will stand. I'll stand before God. Listen, friend, I don't want to judge you, but I am going to tell you the truth. You're going to stand before one who will. You will. Every man, woman, and child sitting in this building, you're going to stand before God, and you're going to have to give an account for this life. Amen? I want a big church. I want a huge church. I want God to blow this church up and use it in a big way. But praise God, I don't want a church full of people that ain't saved. You better make that assumption quick. You better examine quick. You better stop putting God off and wondering, well, maybe one day I'll really sell out to God. Maybe one day I'll really do something. You know what I have found? More people who do that never do anything for God. They're always waiting for someday. Today is the day. I'm going to give you another illustration right here. This verse is a good place for the next verse. Go to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 31. Hopefully I don't have to pause so long between the next reading. Y'all can laugh. It's okay. Hebrews 10, 31. I want y'all to get there. Some of you that are going, I can hear pages turning. I don't make everybody go there, but I want you to get that. So you examine yourself, whether you be in the faith or not. Watch this Hebrews 10, 31 right here. Nobody hardly ever preaches on this. Nobody hardly even touches on it. But I want to share it with you. Hebrews 10, verse 31. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Did you know that was in your Bible? Did you know that was in your Bible? A lot of people, we think God is some granddad up in heaven who's just going to let everybody in. Who's just going to be like, man, you've been good enough. There ain't nobody good enough. What he's going to look for and what he's going to require is the shed blood of Jesus Christ. He's going to listen for the blood. It is a fearful thing. If you go up one verse, if you went up one verse right there into verse 30 and verse 29, watch this, for we know him that hath, oh no, that's not it. Well, did it again. 13:5. Turn the page. Did I do that wrong again? 10:31. I told you I was up late last night. Verse 29. It's Hebrews 10, verse 29. Of how much sore a punishment suppose ye shall ye be thought worthy who hath trodden under the foot of the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. I'll be honest, that's what I'm saying. If you walk over the blood of Christ instead of having it applied to your life, you're going to stand before God and that blood is going to cry out guilty against you on your feet, but innocent on your heart. Man, that's an important step. You need to understand that. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 6. I can't mess up all three of them. It'd be impossible. It'd be impossible to mess them all three up. I'm going to read about 8 verses, and I'm going to give you, he's seen it. He's seen it. That's the title of the message this morning, he's seen it. We go a little bit further. As he's seen it, you better see it. Amen? He's seen it, you better see it. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 1. In the year the king Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had 6 wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone. Because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he said, Lay it upon my mouth, and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard a voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here I am, send me. I was sitting there and I was thinking when I got this prepared, it said, when he got there, what did he see? What did he see and what do you have to see? You have to see God. Amen? You better see God for who he is. Isaiah was a prophet. Isaiah was a man of God. Isaiah got a word from God and spoke it directly from God before God had ever made one scripture. Amen? That you need to know that. When he got in the presence of God and in the place of God, the first thing he said is he is high and lifted up. God, we've got a big God and he is high and lifted up. Amen? And he is holy, holy, holy. When you stand before God and you are not holy and you are not righteous and you are not covered, you cannot stand there. Amen? Some of you are sitting here right now going, Whoa, I'm not righteous and I'm not holy. We've been saying this so long in the church. Oh, I'm just an old sinner. I was an old sinner. Now I'm saved by grace, covered by the blood, stand in His righteousness. I am holy because He was holy. Amen? We don't have any excuses. We shouldn't be living like the old man. We should be striving every day to crucify the old man and to live in Christ Jesus. If you're just sitting there every day getting worse and worse and worse, you better check up. That's not Jesus. That's you. That's you. You can mess up. You can make a mistake. You can sin. But praise God, that is not who we are. It's quiet in here. I must be a really good preacher or something today because it's quiet. But I'm going to tell you right now, Isaiah got a good look at who God was. And you know what he said? He goes, Man, that's going on in heaven today. I like when it says, King Uri. Amen. You know what? Uri was an awesome, amazing king. We've had some awesome, amazing presidents. We've had some not so awesome and amazing presidents. But guess what? High, low, high, low. Guess what's never changed? Jesus, God, and the Holy Spirit, all reigning. It says His train filled the room. You know what that means? In our terms, that means He's got a reign that never ends. Good God, y'all need to shout every once in a while. It wouldn't hurt you. Praise God, that's good. When we don't get what we want, when leadership ain't what we think it is, there is a God in heaven who sits on the throne who says, I bring kings and kingdoms up, and I bring kings and kingdoms down. Do you know this? If you ever read your Bible, it'll say this. Usually God will give the leadership that will identify closely to the people. Do you get that? Usually your leadership is a direct reflection of who the people are. And we're sitting here going, why do we have such poor leadership? Because we have a poor spiritual unbalanced nation. We have taken God out of everything and wonder why God is not in anything. Amen? And I'm not just sitting here preaching some political argument to you. I'm just saying this. If we, and you're sitting here going, how are we going to fix Washington? Fix your home. Where's the spiritual leadership in your home? Well, they won't let us pray at school. When's the last time your kids seen you pray at home? When's the last time they seen Daddy crack that book in front of everybody and read it and be broken over his sin? You want your kids to get it from the youth group. They should be getting it from you. And if you're sitting here right now and you go, my mom and my daddy, they ain't doing this, they ain't doing that. Well, praise God, you start it. You start it. Amen? Well, hey, it ain't going to take everybody else to make a revival. It ain't going to take everybody else to get started. If your leadership, if your mom, your dad, your grown-ups ain't doing it, praise God, say, as for me and my friends, we're going to serve the Lord. Revival only, it only needs one person. Because God's three, all he needs is you to join a team and say, I don't care what everybody else is doing. I'm sick and tired of doing what everybody else is doing anyway. There's enough adults in here already done enough in our life to realize our life ain't worth nothing without Jesus anyway. Some of you young people need to figure it out earlier than we did. You've tried twice as much before we ever did. You should figure this out. That's terrible. I want God. I wish we'd get a bunch of teenagers in here that would get on so fire on so hot and on fire for God that our seniors would get bothered and jealous and mad and go, man, they're just taking over the church. I'd say, yes, they are. Stand still and let them run a lap around you. Amen? And I'm not talking about preaching and teaching. I'm talking about somebody who says, I ain't leaving until God shows up. I wish we had some young people who said, I ain't going to move until God moves. Mary Magdalene wouldn't leave the tomb until Jesus showed up. Wouldn't leave. That's one woman. She just sat at the tomb and said, I ain't going nowhere. Everybody else left. All the disciples, all the apostles, everybody. But guess what? I ain't going nowhere. Some of you need to put your foot down and say, guess what? I ain't going nowhere until I got Jesus. If you got a God that's too small to change your whole world, you got a small God. We're sitting here going, man, how's God going to change this world? 120 people in the upper room. 120 people in the upper room. Just a few weeks after that, you know what they said? These people have gone about to turn upside down the whole world. Praise God, we got that many in this room right here. We're sitting on here, well, man, they better do something out there. Why don't we just do something right here until the whole world has to come look at it? Amen? I got way off the message topic. I had 4 points. How many is that? One? Some of y'all, I don't know why y'all even come sometimes. Y'all think, man, this guy can't. He's all over the place. Isaiah seen who he is. You better see that. And then all of a sudden, he seen who he was. He seen who he was. Listen, this is a man who spoke for God. This is a man who could have hung his hat on his title. And what some of us do, Christian, believer, churchgoer, whatever. Isaiah, the very first moment he stepped off and looked into glory, he said, what'd he say? Woe is me. Woe is me. I'm undone. Amen. I am undone and I don't belong here. Amen. We better see who we really are. We better stop saying dumb stuff like, well, only God can judge me. He will. Only God can correct me. He will. Amen. If you ever get a heavenly father, praise God, you're going to find out real quick. He's a wonderful savior, but he's a good, good daddy. Amen. Some of you ain't got saved because you ain't got corrected. Amen. I got a correcting God. I can say the wrong thing, do the wrong thing, go the wrong place, and guess what? I got a daddy who meets me like my mama did when I was a kid and when she told me never to ride a motorcycle. Never. I tell you right now, me and my buddy, I'd go to my buddy's house. They all had motorcycles. My mom had a thing about smoking and motorcycles. Two things I could never do. Don't smoke, don't ride motorcycles. I remember my buddy, everybody else was running laps on that motorcycle, and I'm sitting over there, no, 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 no. And all of a sudden he goes, come on, man. One lap around the rope, just me and you. All right. I just happened to forget that my mom was on the way to pick me up. It's a Kawasaki 100 back in the day. I'm sitting on the back of that motorcycle. I'm riding. All of a sudden, I look up and I see a little Honda Accord cut the corner on a dirt road, gravel dirt road. We're running wide open. Guess what I do? I just jump right off the back of it. I did. I bailed off that thing. I rolled three flips, got standing up, started walking. Blood coming off both knees, just beat up, and just walking on the arm. My mom pulled up and goes, "Was you on the back of that motorcycle?" "No, Mama, how long were you talking about?" Amen? That's exactly how God is. He comes while you're in the midst of it, and He will call it on you and correct you, straighten you up, and won't allow you to do it anymore. Amen? I'm telling you, friend, I'm trying to tell you, I'm trying to warn you right here, that's who God is. When you see Him, you'll see yourself. He sat there and went like this. He said, "Woe is me, I'm undone, I need you. I need a touch." Some of y'all need a touch. Some of y'all need a touch from God. If you ever get a touch from God, you'll be different. You won't be as bitter. You won't be as angry. You won't be as unforgiving. You won't hold many grudges. You'll be so forgiven. Amen. Some of y'all are in the bondage of unforgiven so bad. And you're saying, "How do I get out of this prison?" You got the keys. All you got to do is unlock the thing. Here's the, "I forgive you." That don't mean you're going to let them run your bank account. Don't mean you're going to let them watch your kids. Ain't going to mean you're going to have them over for Sunday dinner. It just means I'm not holding you accountable anymore for what you did. I'm out. Amen? We'd have revival in here if half the church would just forgive. I mean, you tell everybody how you've been done wrong, how you're mad, how you're upset, but you never tell God and you never go to the person you're upset with. How about just walking across the street, walk across the aisle and say, "I'm sorry for being mad at you. Can we go to the altar and pray it out?" We'd have revival in here and that would be so big that we couldn't stop it. Don't preach like that, brother. We don't want to have a big, long revival. We don't want to have long church services. We got places to go. That baffles me, Ed. I'm being honest with you. I get aggravated about Sundays sometimes because you do all this work to get ready. Amen? How many of you done a lot of work to get ready? Some of you done a lot of work. I can see it. Sorry. I take that back. That's that quick wit we was talking about. Praise God. Why are you going to do all that work to get here? Fix your hair, put on your makeup, put on a dress, put on a suit coat, put on shoes, brush your teeth, comb your hair, get presentable, get in the car, wait on her. Man, I'm digging myself a grave. I know. Give me a ride, Ray. All right. Me and you together, brother. You do all that, get over here, and you just come in here, and we're going to worship. And all of a sudden, "Man, we better hurry. Where are you going? You look good. Stay a while." Hey, man, you look fine. We got here. Praise God. Let's stay a while. We got dressed up for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Let's just say, "Hey, we're here. We might as well do it." I ain't got nothing. Man, we spent 2019 and 2020 at the house. I don't want to go back. Amen? Oh, some of you, don't get mad at me. I'm just being honest. He seen who he was. Is that point number two? All right. Nancy said yes. You got that right. We need a touch. That's where I was going anyway. As soon as he said, "I'm undone," the angel flew off and got the live coal and touched him on his lips. Amen? The live coal represents Jesus Christ and his sacrifice at Calvary. He is the living coal. And he touched his lips. And we go, why did he touch his lips? Because his lips was a direct representation of what's in his heart. Out of the abundance of the mouth, the heart speaketh. Boy, I'd like to preach a whole message in here about that one time, about just how, you know, everybody says the right thing and does the right thing when they're in church. I'd like to take some of you. I'd just like to ride up and down the road with some of you when you get mad. I like to hear some of you when you get angry. That I want to hear some of that, because some of you say, bless Jesus and praise God and all that, but I want to see you when you're at your maddest. Praise God. I want to see where there's the abundance of the heart. I remember them telling a story. They had a bunch of volunteers come down to the church to try to fix the church up after a big storm, and they had an old boy, and he was, praise God, hallelujah, I was a pastor, I'm a preacher, I'm a deacon, all this stuff, and they was working, and they was, and all of a sudden he was up there nailing something in, and guess what he did? He hit that old thumb. And guess what? He started running a line of them together. And all them people he had been telling how great of a servant of God he was, they're all sitting there going, wow, brother, where'd that come from? Amen. You know where it came from? Abundance of the heart. Amen. When you get shook up on the inside and you can't control what's coming out of here, that's who you really are. Amen. When you get your maddest and you're most upset, and if what's coming out there then, that's the fountain you really have. Amen. Some of y'all getting mad at me right now. You're sitting here going, I can't believe you're gonna say I'm telling you. Amen. You better check up, because what's rolling out of my mouth. See, he said, I come from a land of people with unclean lips, and I am a man of unclean lips. You better be real with yourself. God fixed my heart. Some of y'all speak real good here. You sing real good here. But out there, you don't ever speak or sing for God. And when you get upset, you sound like you're playing for the other team. Amen? We could have altar call right now. I think we'd have her filled up. Amen? But, you know, when you get most upset, when you get tore up, when you get in your worst place, that's when people are listening to find out whether you are in the faith or not, and they want to know. Because, see, it's easy to walk up on the mountain. It's easy to go through all the good times. It's hard when you get shook. That's when people say, what's he going to do now? What's she going to do now? How's she speaking now? Is he going to praise God now? Is she going to praise God now? Then my favorite part, verse 8. It's my favorite part, and it's going to be an examination for all of us. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord. After he seen who God was, after he seen who he was, and after he got touched, what comes next? There is a next for everybody here. Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? I love this part. Do you have the burden that God has a burden for? Do you want to do the things that God wants you to do? I love this right here. He said, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Verse 8. Watch this right here. Then said I, here am I. Send me. Man, I bet he didn't even know what he was talking about. I bet he didn't even have a clue what he was talking about. I believe he just stood there in the presence of God. God was who he was. God, he seen who he was. Then God touched him, and he just wanted to do something for Jesus. Anybody in here just want to do something for Jesus? So all of a sudden, he looked up there, and all of a sudden, he overheard it. If you ever get saved, if you ever see who Jesus is, you ever get touched by Jesus, you'll want to do for Jesus. And as soon as the word comes, you'll be like, here I am. Amen? Every person I know that got saved and born again eventually said, here I am, send me. And I didn't know when I'm back here in the day, 2006, announcing my call to prayer. I had no, God said, who will go for me? Melissa remembers I went up to an altar at a church. Bobby Timms preached this message. Here I am, who will go for me? I got up on that altar and them words flew out like it wasn't nobody. Here I am, Lord, send me. God is not stopped. He ain't stopped. Hey, man. He ain't stopped. And I don't want him to stop. But I'm being honest with you. When I heard it, when I said, who will go for me? And I said, here I am, send me. I had no idea what he was talking about. All I wanted to do was go. I didn't know where we was going. I didn't know what we was doing. I didn't even know how to do it. But I just knew that God needed somebody. And I seen him. And I seen me. And he touched me. So it just seemed the right thing to do next is go. I think we got a lot of people in here that have seen him. Seen ourselves. And we've been touched. But how many of us are really going to go? Some of you are struggling. And you walk for Christ. Because you've been touched, you've been saved, you just ain't never said, here I am, God, send me. Here I am, God. Take all my plans. Take all my future and send me. Me and Melissa were working on a message together a couple of days ago. And was talking about the little woman with the alabaster box of ointment. And she come up with the best point. Her perspective is so much better than mine. She said they were probably upset with her. Because, you know, the disciples got upset with her. Not those rogue, lost people in the world. The disciples got upset with her for pouring that alabaster box of ointment out. They said, why was such a waste made? And here's what Melissa said. Here's her point. She said, you know what they thought? They probably thought, if you would use that for yourself, we wouldn't have to take care of you. If you would use that for yourself, you really wouldn't have to worry about anything. If you used your alabaster box, if you used what was valuable to you, the only thing you got left that's valuable, if you had used that for yourself, you wouldn't have to rely on Jesus. And us. I wish we could talk to her now. I guarantee you, I know what she would say. I wish I could have gave him everything that day. I did. Amen? Some of the apostles later, after they received the Holy Spirit, I guarantee they said some things like, I wish I was more like her earlier. I wish I'd dumped it all out. And I know one man named Judas. I guarantee you, if you ask him in eternity, I guarantee you, I bet he would say, I wished I could have went back to that day and went over there and taken that alabaster box of ointment out of her hand and broke it over him myself and worshiped him. Let's all stand as they come get us on. Have you ever seen who God is? Do you really see who you are? Have you received the touch? Have you received the touch? And will you go? That's the questions this morning.